Welcome to NHL Draft Class. I am Adam Kimmelman here, as always, with Mike Morial. But Mike, we are here together. We don't get to do this very often. We haven't been in the same room to record since World Juniors. Here we are at the wonderful NHL Scouting Combine in Buffalo. We are here at KeyBank Center. We're seeing all the players. We're seeing all the teams. We're seeing all the managers. This is the big time, and we are here live recording NHL Draft Class.
It's an important moment for all the players, right, Adam? The testing. We have their visits with the general managers, which is extremely important. And for a lot of these players, we have 90 prospects here. For a lot of these players, it's their business meeting with these general managers.
Job interviews.
It's a job interview. So, you know, they're dressed to the nines and they have to go in there and give a good representation of themselves. But it's going to be a fun week. You know, we get to sit down with a lot of these players and get to know them personally, what it was like growing up, wherever they may come from, overseas or in Canada or the United States. So it's a fun time for us. And we have a great opening guest to kick us off.
Yes, we have the number one player, the projected number one pick, the number one ranked player in Central Scouting's North American Skater Ranking, Matthew Schaefer, the defenseman from the Erie Otters in the Ontario Hockey League. What a fun kid. You know, you can go back and you listen to the draft class episode we did in November at the USA Hockey CHL Top Prospects Challenge, where we had Matthew and Malcolm Spence as Erie teammates. So much fun. And now here we are months later, still so much fun talking to Matthew Schaefer.
Yeah, he's a dedicated family kid. He just, you know, adores dad, his brother. He talks about his brother. And obviously, with the passing of his mother, it's something that's always been on, will be on his mind for, you know, for the rest of his life. But he's using it as fuel, right, Adam? That's the one thing we've learned, is that he, you know, with what his mom was able to bring to him and teach him and show him, he's using that now to help others that may be grieving because of loss in their life. And it says a lot about him as a player, as a is the character that he has to be able to do something like that. And, you know, obviously we had talked about this. You know, not only is he a fantastic defenseman and someone that's going to be able to get the job done as a defenseman on the ice, but off the ice, we know what he's capable of and the type of person he is.
Yeah, he's a great kid. He's a mature kid. He's a smart kid. And he's a really, really great hockey player. That's what he projects to be. And that's why he's going to be most likely the number one pick in the draft. But let's go to that interview with Matthew Schaefer right now. Matthew Schaefer, thank you for joining us here at the NHL Scouting Combine, NHL Draft Class. How has your time here been going so far?
Yeah, it's good. Thanks for having me on. But no, everything's going good. Just getting underway today. We came in yesterday. So yeah, super excited.
Matthew, what do you wish to achieve here at the Combine, talking to the GMs, the scouts, and maybe part of the testing that you'll be doing?
Yeah, all the GMs and scouts, they see you on the ice, so I think it's getting to know you off the ice and just being yourself, you know, the personality you have. I think, you know, going into a room, I love talking, so just talking away, just being the person I am.
So the testing's a few days away, but I think people really want to know, with the injury you had, are you going to be able to do some, all, none of the combine fitness testing? What are you cleared to do?
Yeah, I'm cleared to do basically all of them. There's just bench press and pull-ups that I'm not going to be able to do, just because I've talked to my doctor and he thinks, just because I haven't been doing it as much as other people have, that there's a chance of an injury. So I'll be staying away from the bench and pull-ups, but I'll be able to do everything else.
Matthew, the thing that has impressed me so much talking to your dad, your brother, you, you've been so much through so much the past 2 years, the passing of your mom, your billet mom, Erie owner Jim Waters, and then the injuries. But you've been such an inspiration for a lot of people. What keeps you motivated and inspired to keep pushing forward?
Yeah, I just want to be a good person. I've been through a lot, and I want to help other people. Like I said to you earlier, I'm going to the Grief Awareness Center in Buffalo here today. I'm going to be meeting a lot of kids, and I think I've been through a lot of things that maybe other people haven't, and these kids have gone through some of the similar things, and we're in, you know, the same category. So Yeah, it's going to be exciting. I'm really excited to, you know, talk to them, hopefully change their mind a bit on some things, on, you know, coping with things like this, my mental mindset. I just want to be able to talk about my mom a lot and people I've lost and just be happy, because I want to bring on the legacy that, you know, she had and, you know, the amazing person she was. So I'm really excited. It's very sad, and you know, you never hope to lose someone you love or go through anything tragic, but, you know, it definitely makes you stronger, and, you know, your loved one isn't suffering anymore.
It's such a unique perspective for someone your age to have, but how much, you know, you're going to go and you're going to provide your story and try to help these kids going through what you went through, but how is it going to help you sort of, and you kind of touched on it, you like talking about your mom and your billet mom and telling how who these people were and how important they were to you, but it helps you just talking about it, right?
Yeah, no, it helps a lot just talking about it. You know, some people like to keep it in and not talk about it. That's just the way, you know, they cope with everything. But for me, I love talking about my mom. You know, just the person she was, because people who haven't met her, I guarantee you it feels like they've met her after I talk about her. So, yeah, it's sad. You know, you wish she was here, but I know she's right beside me doing this, you know, interview with me. So, yeah, but no, I love her.
Well, growing up in Stony Creek, Ontario, I know that, you know, your mom and your dad heard a lot of those battles between you and your brother, whether it was in the basement or in the garage. Can you maybe speak a little bit to those battles? Because Johnny was telling me he got the best of you, man. He got the best of you.
Yeah, he did. He did. When I was younger, he's 9.5 years older. So we'd strap up the equipment, and he would put me through the garage almost. So he'd toughen me up. He was a big hitter back in the day, blocked a lot of shots. So he was pretty tough. I was still young. So he would honestly put some equipment on. He didn't need everything. And then I'd put full equipment on to be safe, and we'd be on rollerblades, and he'd put it at the garage. He'd dump the ball in, and then I'd go, oh, I'm going to go get it. He'd come in and smoke me, and I'd be on the ground crying. I'd come in my rollerblades crying to my mom and dad, and they'd go, Johnny. And then I would kind of be like, Matthew, come on, like, toughen up. And then they'd be yelling at my brother and then all that. And it was like just a repeat. I'd get hurt. I'd come in crying. Next day, same thing would happen. And then as I got older a bit, then I'd, you know, try to beat my brother into going to the garage. And then I'd try to hit him, but I'd get reversed. So he got me tougher for sure. He's taught me a lot of things. He's been my role model because I got to watch him growing up playing the OHL. So, yeah, he's taught me a lot of things I need to know.
So one thing that's going to happen here is the interview process. And obviously, I'm sure you're going to meet with the New York Islanders if you haven't met with them yet. Have you had any preliminary conversations with them? Have you gotten to meet Matthew Darsh, new GM? And what's that process been like for you so far?
Yeah, talked to him a bit. I haven't got to meet him in person, so can't wait to meet him in person. I've heard so many great things about the Islanders. You know, makes you want to play there when you hear such great things about an organization and ownership and GM and the staff. So looking forward to meeting them, and yeah, I can't wait.
Matthew, I'm curious, who is your sports GOAT? And it could be from any sport. It could be golf, it could be football, hockey. Who is the GOAT for you?
Yeah, there's a lot of people I watch. I wouldn't say I have a specific GOAT. You know, I feel like in golf, I was happy Rory McIlroy won his first, you know, championship there. I mean, he's won a lot, so happy he got that one under his belt. But, yeah, like, I love Tom Brady. I think he's a GOAT, you know, solid player. You know, he's won a lot of great things, great player. So, yeah, I have a lot. But honestly, I think if I had to pick someone that I really look up to, it'd be my brother, Nick Foligno, or Marcus Foligno, because Mark and Nick Foligno have been through so much in life. I was actually talking to Nick yesterday. They created a foundation in their mom's name because they lost their mom at a young age too. I was talking to him yesterday, and it felt like I've known him forever. And he's just such a great guy. He cares, and it's really good to have someone like him in your corner.
So I want to go back to the Islanders for a minute, and I'm sure other teams are going to ask you this. Why should they take Matthew Schaefer with the number one pick? If that question comes up, what's your answer?
Yeah, I think they saw my game on the ice, but I don't think they see, you know, my leadership skills and the person I am off the ice. I come to the rink every day. I'm competitive. I'm a good person. I work hard. I want to be the best player on the ice, and I want to win. And, yeah, like I said, they see me on the ice, but I don't think they've got to see, you know, who I am off the ice and my personality. I've been through so much adversity, and a lot of people would say, yeah, I've only played 17 games, but I think in those 17 games I showed why I'm the, you know, number one ranked player in this draft. And You know, you go through a lot of adversity. You can't really control what adversity you face. All you can control is what you do with, you know, your opportunities you get.
One of those great moments that Adam and I had the pleasure to witness was November 26th in London at the CHL USA Prospects game. Here's Matthew Schaefer. No stick, no glove. Somehow you have the wherewithal to get in front of a shot. Can you just take me through that sequence and what that was all about?
Yeah, so, I mean, I lost my stick and glove, so I think that's a bit on me. So so I obviously had to make up for my mistake there. But, no, yeah, I remember losing my stick, and then my glove came off, and I think we were on a PK. I think it was a 5-on-4, 5-on-3. So then I was I think that shows right there that I will do anything to win. You know, whether it's blocking shots with no stick or no glove, or you know, getting points, or you know, patting other players on your team on the back to get them going. I will do anything to win. And right there, definitely learned it from my brother, because he blocked a lot of shots back in the day. I think he taught me one of those. You know, put the knee down, block. I mean, I had to try to hide the hand a lot. I got a lot of texts after the game from all friends, like, are you like, come on, what are you doing? Like, your hand was like, what if you got hit there? You would have broke it. And I was getting, you know, I was getting in trouble a bit there. But I was like, no, I was trying to hide it. And I was like, hey, it's over. At least I blocked it. Hand's good, so we're good.
It was probably the most unique thing I think I've seen in 23 years covering hockey. But it was really, it was definitely entertaining. And yes, you did block the shot. Yeah. But let's talk about what shots you might be blocking next. So the draft is going to come. You know, you only played 17 games this season. But the NHL is the end goal. Are you ready to jump to the NHL as soon as next season?
Yeah, that's my goal. I want to play in the NHL next season. I think it's going to, you know, really translate if I have a good summer. I'm in the gym. I'm working out with Brian Marshall. My D coach is Mark Giordano. So super excited to work with him. He's, you know, very smart. He's played in the league. He's a Norris winner. So, you know, a lot of things, you know, you want to be like him. You want to hear from him. Yeah, so he's going to be telling me and helping me a lot of things this summer. I'm going to be skating with him a lot. In the gym, I want to be getting bigger, stronger, you know, faster, and I'm going to be training with a lot of NHL players on a day-to-day basis, and I think that's huge. Getting pushed by NHL players is where you want to be.
Is there any one skill you're looking to improve, Matthew, you know, to get to that next level that you know that I need to do this in order to be here?
Yeah, I think one thing is just walking the blue line, getting shots through. I think that's a big thing. And retrieving pucks, Gio's big thing is, you know, with my skating ability, you'll have a bit more time to keep, you know, your head up the ice instead of turning and having your back to the play. I think, you know, if you're keeping your head up, you have your options, you know what you're going to do, then I think it's pretty easy, you know, when you're ahead with your hockey IQ and, you know what play you're going to make next. But I think, you know, getting shots through is going to be a big one.
So, Matthew, I just have one last one. You know, there's a big movement among CHL players that if they don't go to the NHL, the NCAA becomes an option. One of your teammates in Erie, Malcolm Spence, is going to the University of Michigan. Have you thought about if the NHL, if the team says, hey, we want you, because you only played 17 games, maybe another season of development might be good for you. Have you thought about where that season could be? Could it be the NCAA? Would you go back to Erie? What's your thought process there?
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, like I said, you obviously want to take it day by day. You know, we'll focus on the combine right now. After the combine, we'll focus what's next. But I think it's just having a good summer. Like I said, my goal for next season is to play in the NHL. If the team doesn't think I'm ready, then obviously I'll talk to them and see what they think. But right now I'm just focused on the combine. And then after that, I'll focus on and take it day by day.
Last one for me, Matthew. What does success mean to you?
Yeah, success can mean a lot of different things. You know, people would think, you know, success would be, you know, winning a tournament. They'd consider that success. You know, I think you have goals in life. And for me, I think that's, you know, either being a good person, I think that's a huge one. You know, being good to other people. Obviously, I want to be the best player in the draft. I want to get drafted. I want to play in the NHL. There's a lot of different things that can be success. And I think in life, just, you know, being a good person, being competitive, trying to be the best at what you do, working hard every day and being a good person.
Well, Matthew Schaefer, thank you so much for taking time to join us today on NHL Draft Class. Good luck the rest of the way here at the Combine.
Thank you, guys.
Mike, that's exactly sort of what we expected to hear from Matthew Schaefer. So much fun. Such a good kid. And the fact that this amazingly busy week for him, he's taking time out of his schedule to go visit grieving children in Buffalo who have experienced a lot of the same thing he's gone through, and he's going to give, like, that's a level of maturity I don't think, and he's not even 18 yet, right? He won't turn 18 until August or September. Like, this is a 17-year-old kid with the wherewithal and the understanding to do this. Like, we can watch the kid on the ice, and we can judge whether he's a good skater, good shooter, all that stuff. But then you actually talk to the kid and you meet the kid, and he's above and beyond.
Absolutely. And when I spoke to Erie General Manager David Brown about that exact thing, Adam, during the week, it, you know, everyone says the same thing about Matthew. It's like, yeah, his on-ice play is fantastic, but it's what this kid brings off the ice that makes him such a special, unique type of player. And, you know, let's face it, now the Islanders have a decision to make, right? I guess we're all thinking, how far is Matthew Schaefer, we're talking on the ice now, how far is Matthew Schaefer ahead of whoever the next prospect, best prospect might be in this draft? I think it's fair to say it's probably going to be a center. It could be Misa. Yes. It could be Hagans. Mm-hmm. We just don't know. How far is the gap there, in your opinion? It's top defensemen are rare.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Like, and we can go back to the last episode we did with David Gregory, right? They saw 17 games, and these guys are veteran, experienced. They've seen it all, done it all more than once. They needed to see 17 games of this kid and like, nope, we're good. We know who the number one player is, right? Like, yep. And you talked about it when we had David Gregory on. Like, that's almost never happened where they've had so little of a book to work with, and they were so set on, that's our guy. That's number one. This is Central Scouting saying this. So if they're saying this, you have to think other teams are saying it too. And if I'm the New York Islanders and I can take anybody in this draft, and I know that guy's healthy, and like the broken collarbone isn't going to be a long-term thing, he's the guy. And yeah. And look, and I know the James Hagans thing is a wonderful story, right? Hawpaw, Long Island, grew up an Islanders fan, would love to wear the jersey again as a professional after, I'm sure, wearing it countless times as a kid. But you can't run a successful team that way. When you have the number one pick, that doesn't happen very often. You need to take the best player available. And to me, there's no doubt it's Matthew Schaefer.
Yeah, and how many true number one defensemen are there in the NHL? Mm-hmm. I think it's fair to say there are not 32.
No.
There might be 15?
Yeah.
25? I don't know what the number is. Everyone that I've spoken to, and I would imagine you as well, have said that Matthew Schaefer is going to be a number one defenseman in this league. He might not be there now, but with the proper, you know, maturing and developing in the system, wherever that might be, he has the opportunity and chance here to become a number one defenseman based on what we've seen. 17 games in the O, 26 total when you can combine the games, World Juniors, sure, and Hlinka and those games as well. So every game, and the scouts have said this, every game that Matthew Schaefer has played, he was impressive. There was no downside. There was nothing to say like or nitpick about his game. And they have the history of last year as well on what Matthew Schaefer was able to do. So there's a lot there to take and grasp. And I think what we've seen, what scouts have seen, that Matthew Schaefer is the guy in this draft class that is probably heads and shoulders above the rest.
So here's the one spot I might, you know, kind of disagree with Matthew just a little bit. When we asked him if he's ready for the NHL, and he said yes. I don't know if that's the answer I would have. If I'm putting a team together, would I want to take a guy who's played one season plus 17 games of junior hockey? Do I want to throw that guy right into my NHL lineup? Look, he comes to camp and he proves it. Yes, absolutely. An 18-year-old defenseman at the NHL is a really, really difficult ask. To me, I would want him to go back to junior or college or wherever
it might be,
and spend one more season getting bigger, getting stronger, just continuing to develop physically. And then, you know, you're getting a much more refined product when you put him in the NHL. That's me. Now, again, he could go to, let's just assume it's the Islanders, he could go to Islanders training camp and blow everybody's doors off. And then it's like, well, okay, force them to make the decision, but I would go into it with the assumption that he's going somewhere else for at least one more season.
Yeah, I would agree with that. A lot of these players might be, we don't know, they might be told by their agents to say, I'm NHL ready. right?
Yeah.
We've seen this before. And it's a, you know, a response from these kids that maybe they feel as though they are. But I agree with you. And to be honest, perfectly honest, I don't think there's a player in this draft that might be NHL ready, right?
I would agree.
I mean, we've seen the video. We've seen a lot of these players live. So I would agree with you that Schaefer maybe needs to play one more season of Major Junior, whether that's in CHL, whether that's in NCAA, we will see. But we have a little bit of what he's been able to do these past 2 years. Just need to see a little bit more and have him marinate a little bit more.
You know, Mike, we've talked about Matthew Schaefer so much and the fact that he only played 17 games. Well, this is kind of the rare year where there's another player who's a top five, top 10 candidate who played, you know, a limited schedule because of the injuries. Roger McQueen from Brandon, you know, it was, I think we've said this a few times, the combine was more important to Roger McQueen than any of the other 89 kids who was here this week because of the question about the medicals. How's his health? How's his back? Is this going to be a lingering thing? Will he participate in the testing at the combine? So, you know, the teams want to hear that, and we had the opportunity to ask him some of those questions. We got some pretty interesting answers.
Yeah, you know, he missed 51 games, right, this season with that back injury. So I think a lot of people want to know, like, how is he doing? How's the recovery been? Obviously, he returned in early March, recorded 9 points in his final 9 games of the season, but it was on off. He missed some time. So you would have to think it was kind of a frustrating year for Roger.
Sure.
But, you know, he'll tell us how he felt and all of that. And I also feel, you know, this is a player, Adam, and we've spoken about this, is if he were healthy, we might be talking about him in the top five of this draft. So as a top centerman,
I think we might be even talking about him even higher, because when you look at that 6'5" package and the skating and the skills and the nastiness he brings and the frame, you know, he is slight of frame now. But to me, from a physical standpoint, he reminds me of an 18-year-old Quentin Byfield, who, if you remember in his draft year, was, you know, he was a string bean, right? He hadn't filled out. But now you look at Quentin Byfield 4 years into his NHL career, 5 years into his NHL career, he is a man. He is physically developed and built. I think Roger McQueen could follow that same path where he is skinny now and he needs to get bigger and stronger, and he's going to get with an NHL strength coach, and he's going to put on the weight, and he's going to put on the muscle, and then you see what Quentin Byfield is. I think Roger McQueen could follow along that same trail.
Yeah, well, let's speak to Roger and find out how he's doing this week at the NHL Scouting Combine.
Roger McQueen from the Brandon Wheat Kings, thank you for joining us today on NHL Draft Class. How are the things here up at the Combine been for you?
Yeah, it's been awesome. It's been good to see a lot of guys I haven't seen in a few years from the U18 tournaments and U17, so get to see some familiar faces again.
Roger, how would you characterize your season? I know it's been a struggle for you with the injury, but overall, how has the season been for you? Has it been a frustrating year in some ways?
Obviously it was not the best timing, obviously, for the injury, but at the same time there was lots of pros to it. I got to learn a lot about my body and got to learn how to be a pro, and in a sense I got to be with my family a bit more for a month there and help out younger guys on the team that had lots of questions. I had lots of time in hand, and yeah, I think the biggest thing was just learning how to be a pro and how to manage your body. And yeah, I learned a couple lessons, how to stay positive all the time, obviously, through the ups and downs of the year. So at the same time, it was good for me.
So for those who kind of weren't able to follow along, can you take us through sort of what happened, the timeline on when the injury happened, what sort of exactly it was, and what the issue was for you that kept you out for so long?
Yeah, so basically, we think at U18 Hlinka, in warm-ups, actually, 2 years ago, I heard it there, and then we didn't overly know what it was, so I just took 3 weeks off and then trained that summer as normal. And then the following year, my 17-year-old year, I played the first 30-ish games and was pretty good, and then from game 30 to 50 about, kind of just started getting a little bit worse every game. So then I took from game 53 off, went to get an MRI, got that done, and we actually got misdiagnosed a bit there, and yeah, so they said it was a bulging disc, which wasn't the case. So I rehabbed it like that from February to March, and then came back for our playoffs against Moose Jaw, lost to them,
and then went to U18 Worlds and played four games there. Kind of got hit weird, same kind of thing. So then came out again, rehabbed it like a bulging disc. So like you're got a bunch of exercises to do that, and still worked out pretty normally with that. And then started the season this year. Played eight games, and then just from game 5, 6, 7, 8, kind of started to tick weird again. So I was like, all right, we're going to stop here so we can figure it out before the end of the year. And then went to Dr. Spine Surgeon Jay Tour in Winnipeg, who was awesome. And he's the reason I'm doing great now. But, yeah, he was awesome there, and he found the fracture. So got that figured out, and we took 6 weeks off. It was kind of halfway healed, took another 6, 75, and then took another 6, and then that got us to 95, and then basically said, yeah, you're good to play. So
this is like a 2-year process that you sort of went through.
Yeah.
So like, how did you kind of persevere through all this when you're dealing with misdiagnosis and it's rehab and it stops and it starts? Like, how does that affect you kind of mentally?
Yeah, like I said, like it was obviously not the best timing obviously with this year, but I got a great family around me and lots of caring people that I can lean on, and lots of buddies on the team that really helped me out. And I think the biggest thing was just staying positive with myself, and yeah, like I said, keeping in a routine and going to the gym, even if the rehab was just rest, just a routine to keep everything going, and especially to keep you back in the loop when you get back into the swing of things.
So on a scale of then 1 to 10, 10 being the best, where do you feel your recovery is at? And did you reach out to anyone, Roger, that maybe had a similar injury to help you in this process?
Yeah, 1 to 10, I'm at a 10, like pain-free now, and there's no symptoms for the last while. So it's been awesome, and probably haven't felt better in the last 3 years. So I'm super pleased with that. And not overly, like I kind of just leaned on my parents and friends for that, and I didn't overly reach out to anyone. I talked to all the guys on the team all the time and tried to be there for the rookies more and kind of take that place in the leadership. But yeah,
so you were able to come back for the WHL playoffs this year, but you only played 2 or 3 games and you left the lineup again. Was it a matter of too much too soon, where you just kind of wanted to go from 0 to 100, and maybe something, muscles that weren't used to being used, kind of got strained a little bit? It wasn't anything to do with the back again, right?
Yeah, no, that was a different injury, sort of from it, just because I had that fracture in my back, and then it was overcompensating for a different muscle, which no, it wasn't in my back, but same kind of thing. It was just quick. It was a 2-week recovery. We went to a guy in Toronto who was unbelievable, and he helped us out with that, and yeah, that's all said and done too. So
Roger, do you consider yourself a skilled forward or a power forward? Because I think there's been some misconceptions there of exactly what type of player you are.
Yeah, I would like to find the medium in between both that. I'd like to be able to obviously have skill on both ends of the ice, but also be pretty physical and annoying to play against as an opposing line or centerman that's got a lineup. So I like to, yeah, try and find the middle of that.
So teams are going to ask you probably enough times to annoy you, and the media is probably going to ask you too. Like, they want to know how healthy you are, because when you're at your best, they know what your best is and how talented you are, but they got to know that you're healthy. So can you assure the doctors that you're past this back issue, that it's not going to be something lingering moving forward?
Yeah, 100%. From all the guys we've talked to, they've all said it's not something that continues. It's like breaking your arm and then the chance of breaking it again. It's just a healed bone. So yeah, it's been awesome, and I feel 100%. So,
you played basketball, you golfed, you ran track. When did you actually commit to hockey, and how, you know, beneficial was it to you know, compete in all those other sports?
Yeah, I think obviously being a young kid, you want to try and do everything that you can to get all the sports in, and I think they're all good for different reasons and help you out in the long run in whichever sport you choose. But I have a sports court in my backyard, so basketball I'm always playing, and pickleball, so that's always just in my backyard, so I'm always doing that, and then golfing, a summer thing. But when I really took on hockey, it would have been pretty young. It was always my number one sport. I always just played a bunch, but it was always my first choice. So it would have been when I was like 6 or 7 or 8. I was already leaned in, so.
So everybody kind of goes back to your first game of the season back in September. You score 4 goals opening night for Brandon. Is that sort of a snapshot of when you're at your best, 100%, that's kind of the play you can bring an NHL team? Just a big, strong power center who can score goals and make plays?
Yeah, that's obviously the goal. And, yeah, it worked out that first game. I played with some great line mates throughout the year that really helped with that 4-goal performance. And throughout the year, those guys kind of drove the play and were awesome to play with. But, yeah, that's what I want to play like and how I want to play when I'm 100% healthy. So,
is it true that you didn't know that you were drafted by Brandon in the dub? Is that is there
no
a truth to that?
No,
you knew? Like I'm
no,
hearing
yeah.
stories about you didn't know and you heard like later on. Or
oh
something.
No, I was we had a little bit of a party at a place at downtown. So I definitely
oh, okay.
knew.
You
yeah.
definitely knew.
Yeah,
yeah.
yeah.
But your phone didn't die or anything of that sort.
No, I don't know how that came about, but that's funny.
Right. Yeah. That's
I heard some stories.
Way to do your homework. You way to do your homework. Way to do your homework. So, all right. So let me ask you this. So everybody knows now that you're going to be healthy.
Yeah.
Everybody knows what you can do when you are healthy. The team says, Roger, we want to take you with the number one pick in the draft. What do you say to them? How do you sell yourself to an NHL team?
Yeah, I think it's big on the ice. I think all the scouts watch on the ice and all the GMs and kind of focus on that. But I think off the ice, I like to talk to people. I like to hang out with guys, and I think the biggest thing is just being a glue guy and trying to glue your team together to win a championship and having everyone buy into the same thing. And I think, yeah, like all the scouting's on the ice, but I think off the ice I bring a different character and someone who's yeah, very respectful and a leader that can really help teams too.
Is there any significance to the number 13?
A little bit. Me and my dad's favorite player have always been Pavel Datsyuk. So it's been a bit of that, and since I was a young kid, I've always wanted to wear it. But for some reason, they always like didn't have 13 in the younger leagues. So finally, now that I get to wear it, it's I think I'll stick with it. So
it's a good choice, a good role model to have.
Yeah.
What do you want to work on this summer? Obviously, staying healthy and keeping your back where it needs to be is goal number one. But what aspect of your game are you going to kind of work on to make yourself even better?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is just putting on strength. I think. I'm still growing into my body quite a bit. I've grown up like a tree kind of instead of the other way. So I think the biggest thing is growing into my body, and that comes with almost all strength. Another big thing that I'm worried, like explosiveness is a big thing for me, and just working on power and in my lower body. So, but yeah, lots of it comes down to just my body maturing.
You know what that's like, right? Growing up like a tree?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Mike's still a sapling.
What's your most memorable hockey moment to this point in your career?
I'd still have to say winning Hlinka with gold. It was awesome, and the guys on the team were great. And you kind of—it's weird when you win, you remember guys so much more than if you just went to a tournament and didn't win. Winning the gold was everything. And every time I see the guys, it's so nice to see just because you battled for them and ended up winning. And yeah, it was a great tournament.
So obviously the goal is to reach the NHL, but the path that'll get you there can take a lot of different options now, especially for you guys with the NCAA option. Have you thought about where you're going to play next year? Is it back to Brandon? Is the NCAA an option? Have you kind of made that decision or headed down that path?
No, like I'm loyal to Brandon. I think I want to win a Mem Cup there. And I think this year is a really good year for us. And I think we've added some pieces that are really going to help us this year. And I think our team is strong enough to get there. And I think, right now I'm planning on going back to Brandon. Obviously, if I get drafted to a team and they think the development might be better somewhere else, I'm very open to thinking about going there. But I am loyal to Brandon right now, and I do really want to win a Mem Cup next year.
Roger, this has been fantastic. Thanks for being open and honest with us. Best of luck in the NHL draft and the combine, and thanks for joining us on NHL Draft Class.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Mike, that was great stuff from Roger. Like the most important questions that needed to be answered, he answered. He's doing all the testing at the combine. He is free and clear of the back issues. It is not expected to be a recurring issue, lingering issue moving forward. If I'm an NHL team and I hear all of those things, I'm feeling pretty good about myself right now when it comes to how I'm laying out my draft board. Or maybe I'm having some issues now, because maybe there's a guy who I had down a little bit because there are question marks. Now where do I move him up? How high do I move him up?
Look, at some point, it makes sense to take a chance on a center with exceptional size and a willingness to use it while having, you know, the nice mitts up in close. You know, when it's interesting, when I asked Roger for just his vibe and what he's getting from speaking to the GMs and the teams this week, he's not really sure, right? But what was certain was when I asked him, you know, 10 out of 10, 10 being the best, how are you feeling? And he immediately said, 10, there's no issues. I'm doing the testing at the combine, which was key. So it's all systems go for Roger, as it is Matthew Schaefer.
Right. And but everybody knew, I think, Schaefer was going to be okay, right?
Yeah.
Because it's a collarbone, it's a bone, it fixes, it heals, it's fine, and on your way. Backs are different. Backs are wonky. Like, I'm in Philadelphia, and I watched what Sean Couturier go through with his back issues, you know, where he missed almost two full seasons. You know, if you're the Columbus Blue Jackets and you just went through this with Caden Lindstrom, where he went 18 months between games from the time, you know, in his draft year, he left the lineup right around Christmas to not coming back till this year's Western Hockey League playoffs. Like, that's a big question mark looming over when you have a top five pick. So now you're kind of cutting off that at the pass, right? Like, he's not hurt anymore. He's a healthy player. He's going to showcase himself with all the fitness testing, the combines, the pull-ups, the shuttle runs, the bench press, the bikes. He's doing it all. He's completely cleared, and he's doing it all. And the fact that it was a fracture. And and can you imagine going through 2 years what he had and the misdiagnosis? And like, and I asked him, like, how do you kind of get through that mentally? Like, the frustration of being told it's one thing, and then, oh, no, it's completely something else. Like, how do you sort of push through that? I thought that was a really interesting answer, that he just, you know, just focus forward and nothing you can do about it. Can't unring the bell. Just keep going.
Yeah, I liked his mindset and how he approached things, particularly in the season where I'm sure he wishes that he was able to play more, as we all wish he was able to do a lot more on the ice. That wasn't the case, but I think he took it in stride. I think you know, he knows he has a lot more to give and a lot more to show to scouts and GMs this week and in the future, wherever that might be. So good on Roger McQueen for the approach he's taking with all this. I know it must be very frustrating from a hockey standpoint for him. And you know, good on Matthew Schaefer as well for the type of person, the character that he's shown with all the trials and tribulations that he's had to go through. I talked about it with him. We talked about it with the loss of his mother, the loss of his billet mother, the loss of Erie owner Jim Waters, who he was very close with. Mononucleosis early in the season, he missed 9 games. Then he had obviously the shoulder injury. So a lot that Matthew Schaefer had to undergo as well. And he's pushed forward and made the best out of a difficult situation.
How about that? Day one of the combine. We've already got this much. We've got news. We've got the number one pick in the draft. This is day one. What else are we going to get coming into tomorrow and the next day and the next day? You've got to stay tuned to all of us, to what we have here at NHL Draft Class. We are inside the interview rooms here at KeyBank Center in Buffalo. We are talking to all the players. We're talking to all the GMs. Stay tuned to NHL Draft Class. Stay tuned to NHL.com/draft to see all of our stories. But for now, NHL Draft Class is dismissed.